Prayer. We're going to talk about prayer today. Prayer is a crucial part of our everyday life. It is a crucial part of a believer's life. You need prayer in your life. If you don't have a prayer life, get one, start one today. It's communication with God. How you talk with your best friends and your spouses and your family members, God wants you to talk with them because you're being genuine, you're being transparent, you're being real. We can't hide anything from him. So why not be real with the one who's authentic, the one who's the creator of this world? Why not be authentic with him? Why not be transparent with him? Prayer keeps us connected to God in a way that good works cannot. No matter how much good works that we may do, and we are supposed to be doing good works, prayer keeps us connected to him. You can do all the great works, the good works, but it doesn't mean you have a relationship with Jesus. It just means you do some good works. A prayer life helps you to keep you anchored in the love of God. The time where you slow down and rest and just sit in God's presence. And you don't have to have much of a relationship with God if you don't have much of a relationship with God if you don't have much of a prayer life. Oh, me and God is this tight, that we're this close. But how often do you speak with him? How often do you fellowship with him? Because coming to church isn't just checking the box off and be like, you know what, I'm good, God is good, what have you. I got my ticket to heaven. He wants a genuine relationship with you. He wants to fellowship with you every day, every hour if you can. But if you can make it every day and then begin to reduce it down to every hour, or I wouldn't say increase it. But increase it every hour. You need prayer. It keeps us grounded, humbled, authentic. You get to sit down and confess your most crazy thoughts and sins to God without any shame, without any guilt, and without any condemnation. Thanking him, praising him, listening to what he has to say to you. And that's the issue. Sometimes we just like to talk and talk and talk and talk, and then we're done. Amen. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Wait a minute. Did you listen? Did you say yes, sir? And then begin to apply those things in your life. We can talk up a storm sometimes, but we also have to listen. The Bible, scripture says in James, be quick to what? Listen. And slow to what? Speak. And slow to anger. Slow to wrath. What God can give you will change your whole perspective in life. In Matthew chapter 6, the disciples had asked Jesus how to pray. He says, when you pray, first thing that Jesus says, he goes in and he says, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on the street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. Right there, people seeing them praying and saying, man, they must be a holy person. That's all that they will receive. They will not receive from God. Jesus is saying, don't be like them. If we're going to be a disciple, we have to take up our cross and follow him on a daily basis. He says, don't be like those hypocrites. Well, that's not very nice, Jesus. They don't mean what they say at times. It's all for show. They want to impress people just so they can tell them that that was a beautiful prayer. That was an awesome prayer. That was just a nice thing for you to do. Jesus knows our hearts. They just wanted to be seen by men. Hypocrites love to be seen by men. They love to pray publicly. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't pray publicly because God knows our hearts. If there's someone who's needing prayer and you're getting ready to leave Walmart or you're in Walmart or wherever you're at, pray with them. But that's the Holy Spirit leading you to do it rather than you just trying to get the applause of the people. But be bold about it. He knows if we mean what we say or if we're just trying to show off. He knows if our prayers are selfish, and if they are, he will not answer them. If our prayers are selfish, God will not answer those prayers. God, I don't understand why you're not answering my prayers. Because they're selfish. Get it more in line with what I want for you, what God wants for you. Get your prayers more in line with what he wants for you, his will. See, you don't have to pray for your desires to come to pass and things of that nature. The Bible says to delight yourself in the Lord and he will what? Give you the desires of your heart. So you don't even got to pray for it. Your focus is on him. Yeah, even though you didn't ask because I already know that you asked, here you go. I know what's in your heart. Lord, I didn't even pray for this. You didn't have to. I just want to bless you. He just wants to bless you. He just wants to be everything to you. He wants you so dependent upon him that you don't have to run to go to other people in order to do certain things to get what you want out of them. He wants that communion, that connection with. And every born-again believer has that opportunity to do that on a daily basis. Doesn't matter where you're at. Get yourself to the place to where you just humble yourself before God. Lord, man, I've been having some jacked up thoughts. I ask that you forgive me for that, Lord. Help me to keep my mind centered and focused on you, on heavenly things, not these things. God is not going to strike you dead because you say that. You're being transparent with him. So he's going to love on you. He's going to comfort you. He's going to embrace you. He's going to give you his word. He's not going to say what your pastor would probably say. Stop it. He loves you more. And sometimes we can feel afraid, be afraid to actually come to him. You do not ever have to be afraid coming to God. He wants communion with you. He wants fellowship with you. Lord, I'm not like this person here. Don't worry about that person there. That's that person. He wants a connection. But Lord, I don't know how to speak in tongues. Don't worry about that. If you're sincere, if you're genuine, when you love me, you will follow those things. You will chase after it. He'll put that in your heart to chase after those things. Well, I'm not like these people here. I don't get those results. Don't worry about it. I just want to connect with you. I don't have the faith that says, actually, you do. But here's the thing. That's all right. Let's just fellowship. God makes it very difficult for us not to have a relationship with him. Because he loves you. And Jesus did everything that he could. Everything that when he said it is finished, it was a finished work. There's no excuse for us not to have one. We can get too busy at times. Busyness doesn't always mean that you're doing godly things. It just means that you're just putting off what you should be doing. I'm too busy. I can't come to church anymore. Wait a minute. Now you're trying to fit church into your life rather than being the church. You're the church. Yes, the church is, this is just a building. You're the church. And every day we have an opportunity to be the church, to be the body of Christ. You're not going to do that perfect. That's why you need a Savior. That's why you need a Lord, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus. You need him in your life. So let's be real. Are the prayers that you are praying selfish? Are the prayers that you take back to your friends, are they just prayers that you take back to your friends just so you can brag about it? Just so you can sound like you have a great relationship with God, but in reality, you barely know him because you rarely ever spend time with him. In verse 6, it says, but when you pray, Jesus says, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. Go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. It's personal. He hears you. He sees you. And he will reward you. I like his rewards a whole lot better. They're greater. They're lasting. They're effective. They bring about change in our lives. And it isn't just for us, because anything that he gives us is just going to be overflowing, because he's come to give you life and to give it to you how? More abundantly. God doesn't skip out. He's not that bag of potato chips that's just filled with air and just a little bit in here. Doesn't that just tick you off? You want to just roll it right back up and dump it out. This was $5. To the full, to the overflows. Everything that God gives us in our rewards, the rewards that we give ourselves will be filled with air. Clouds of conceit. But the rewards that God gives us overflow. It isn't just for us. It's to spill on other people as well. We should want his rewards. Verse 7 says this, but when you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They love to do this. They were so repetitive in what they were saying, saying the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over again, thinking that God would hear them. They think their prayers are answered merely because by repeating their words again and again. Jesus didn't pray the same prayer twice. He's the example. Your Father hears you. Sometimes we like to remind God, Lord, this is what your word says. You said you would do this. You said that you would take this. You said that you would. What's going on here? He prayed one time. All you have to do is pray one time. And then we just give him thanks. We believe, we receive, and we give him thanks. But that's our confidence that we have in him. That's our assurance that we have in him. Jesus is the mediator between God and man. He doesn't say, pray to any of the angels. He says, pray to your Father. He didn't say to pray to Mary. He didn't say pray to all the other saints. He said, pray to your Father. That's the difference between being a believer. Certain religions, they'll pray to Allah. Allah isn't God the Father. He isn't El Shaddai. You're wasting your time. You don't pray to Buddha, you're wasting your time. Pray, Lord, if you don't know Jesus and you're in another religion and you don't know Jesus, pray, Lord, reveal yourself to me. Who is the one true God in my life? Who is the one true God that is out there? Reveal yourself to me. Show yourself to me. Watch what happens. Because you always got to understand, there's more. And Jesus is it. He's the real thing. He's the only one that claimed, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except by me. He's the only one that stated that claim. See, we don't have to put on a religious mask when we sit down in his presence. Let him strip you from everything that hinders you from fully pressing in. Your attitude, your pride, your disgust, your anger. Let's sit down and just let God strip you of that, just piece by piece, and just let him just, yeah, you don't need that in your life. You don't need this in your life. You don't need that anymore. You don't have to act this way. You don't need to act that way. You don't need to treat that person. Let him strip you of everything. And then begin to build you up with his word, with his love, with his kindness, with his patience, with his gentleness, with his long suffering, with his joy. Lord, strip me of anything that hinders my walk with you. Strip me from anything that keeps me from pressing in. The best prayers are bold. It comes from the spirit of man, and it is straight to the point. You don't have to babble on. Babbling on will keep you in Babylon. Ask. Jesus says, ask so that your joy may be complete. There's some people who don't want to ask. I love sitting in the presence of God, but I also love asking. Because we ask in whose name? We get to use it. The name which is above all names. We get to use Jesus. Verse 8, it says, don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Don't be like who? Hypocrites. Other people who don't get results, don't be like them. People who don't take the time to hear from God, do not be like them. Those that want to be seen by men because it's always about them, don't be like them. When it comes to your faith in God, do not be like them. When it comes to believing God for miracles, do not be like them. When you ask, there's a dialogue taking place between you and God. When you ask, he'll answer. God will answer. It may not be sometimes the answer you may want to hear, but he's going to answer you. It's going to be a yes. It's going to be a no. It's going to be, wait, you don't need that right now. You're not mature enough for that right now. Lord, my prayers aren't getting answered. Let me ask you a question. I said, how are you treating your wife? Because your prayers are hindered when you don't treat your wife right. God wants a yielded heart. So even if you weren't, here's what he says. Come to me. And then you can say, Lord, I haven't been treating my wife right. I ask that you forgive me. But don't just tell me, son. Go tell your wife. Baby, please. No, see, we don't have to beg. Please, baby, please. That's a dialogue that takes place. between the two of you. He listens when you speak. Psalms 116 says, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Simple, yet deep. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Lord, I love you. Why do you love him? Is it because of all the things that he can give you? Take the day and ask yourself that question. Why do I love you? Why do I love the Lord? Why do I love him? Psalmist said, because he heard my voice and my supplications. If there's ever a time you need for God to hear your prayers, it's when you need forgiveness, you need mercy, you need his grace. Can you imagine him shutting that off when you need it? And if he does shut it off, it's because we are in pride, because God opposes who? The proud, but he gives grace to who? The humble. Stay humble, my friends. Stay humbled. You don't know it all. I don't know it all. Stay humbled. The Holy Spirit, he knows all things, and he can tell you all things. Hey, big head. Stop it. No, he won't call you that. He'll call you by your name. Verse 2, it says, because he bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath. Jesus also tells us to not lose heart. He tells men should always pray and not lose heart. And as long as I have breath, I will pray, not just pray, I will praise, I will sing, and I will shout. Why? He's given me this breath. You should always pray. It's a humbling experience to be able to kneel and pray, no matter the disappointments that surrounds you. You don't stop spending time with God in prayer. Things may not be going your way, and it seems like life, everything is just falling apart. You don't stop praying. When we stop praying, it's actually sin. In 1 Samuel, it says here in 1 Samuel 12:23, it says, as for me, I will certainly not sin against the Lord by ending my prayers for you. And I will continue to teach you what is good and right. So there is a possibility that we can lose heart, but God doesn't want us stopping when we pray. He doesn't want us doing that. He doesn't want us stop. He doesn't want us our prayers to stop. He doesn't want, because when we pray, we're actually inviting him in. He needs legal right into your life. He ain't just going to get out the way and let me do it. In Romans 8, it talks about, Romans 8:28, it talks about the Holy Spirit will intercede with us. Not for us, with us. So we actually have to open up our mouths and he begins to intercede with us when we begin praying in the Spirit. I will certainly not sin against the Lord. By what? Ceasing pray. In Ephesians, it tells us after we put on the full armor of God and pray in the Spirit on some occasions, all occasions. I believe it's 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It says, never cease praying. These are commands that we got from the word and from these men that tells us not to stop praying. We pray, We do not beg God for anything. We pray, we ask, we talk, we exhort, we praise, but we never beg. Begging means that you are not really sure that it is God's will. Begging is manipulation, trying to get God to do something that's contrary to his word. That's one thing you can't do is manipulate God, because he knows what? He knows our hearts. He looks at our heart. He knows the motives and why we're coming to him. So we can't manipulate him. We can't fool him. He knows that. So you might as well just get all that junk out the way. Just cut to the chase. And just be bold with it. I had to ask God, forgive me for my weight. That was tough. Because I was coming up with a lot of good excuses. Had a Rolodex. But eventually it has to get back to his word. But you know what? You got to get back on that bike and to get after it. Got to apply the word to your life. This is his temple. I got to take care of it. He ain't going to take care of it for you. That's a tough sermon to preach to yourself. But how long do you want to live here? Your spirit will continue to live, but your body is decaying every single day. Take care of it. We got to take care of it. So I break any spirit off of you right now in the name of Jesus that's keeping you from taking care of the temple of the Holy Spirit. Any spiritual attacks that are against you, we command it to leave right now in the name of Jesus. Laziness, procrastination, spirit of gluttony. We come against that right now in the name of Jesus. Why? You're preserved here for the last days, the last hurrah. And if Jesus were to come back, if he were to come back 100 years from now, okay, none of us will be here. But we're saving something for the next generation. The Bible does say, I keep using that scripture. The Bible says physical training is of some value. It's not all value. So all those people who are going to the weight room and gym, oh, they're wasting their time. Because I'd rather have a true, genuine relationship with God than be physically fit. Actually, God may want you to have both. But is that your conviction? That wasn't in my notes. That was just free. But that was convicting me in that sense. 1 Peter 3:12 says, the eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the Lord turns his face against those who do what? The Lord turns his face against those who do evil, but his eyes are open to their prayers. So where do you think you want to be? To those who do right or those who do evil? You want your prayers answered? Are you doing right by the word and by the Lord and by his will and by his people? Or are you doing evil? Because if you're doing evil, he doesn't answer those prayers. His face is against those. Can't get any simpler than that. They watch over those who do right. If God answered yes to all of our prayers, that would be a dangerous thing. Now, I'm not talking Bruce Almighty type stuff. Everybody wins the lottery. And that was just in, oh my goodness, in Buffalo. That was the city, right? Yeah. Everybody wins. He doesn't answer those prayers because it would be dangerous for us. But yet his word says all of his promises are yes and amen for those who are in Christ Jesus. So the things that he has preserved for us, that he has given us, that he has, that through Jesus' finished works, they're prepared for us already. And he says yes to those things. So why do you think I want what he has for me? Because he ain't going to tell me no. He's not going to tell me no. I'm in Christ. I've given my life to Jesus. I'll walk according to his word, not perfectly, but I do. I want what he has, what he's reserved for me, because that's going to help others. That's going to help other people. He knows everything. If we live out our lives with humility, then there would be no need to go around trying to convince others to do what we want them to do in a negative sense. God will back up his word. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. So if you need them to answer prayers in your life, stick with the right. Stick with doing what's right in his eyes. Stick with walking in love. God calls us to a higher standard of living, a higher standard of serving, a higher standard of praying. So when we come boldly to the throne of grace. In Hebrews 4, that says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is what? Sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. Think about that. That's how sharp the word is. Well, God's word doesn't transform me. That's because you're skipping over the scriptures and you're not applying the word in your heart. Because I guarantee you, if you read the word, you're going to say ouch a few times. Because the word will find you out. God's word will always find you out. There is nothing unhidden. There is no hidden motive that we can bring to God and be like, oh, I got one over him on that. Even when we read his word, it'll show us that where we're wrong. But it will also show you who you are in Christ. It'll show you what Jesus has done for you. It'll show you how to grow spiritually. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes what? Our innermost thoughts and desires. This is what the word does. It's the living word. This isn't Dead Poet Society. It's the living word. The word of God is active and is alive constantly. While the enemy sleeps, the word is still active in your life. The word of God never gets out of shape. He disciplines, he cuts, he heals, he separates the good from the evil. He cannot hide, we cannot hide sin away from God. The more you read the word, the more you will realize how much you need Jesus in your life. Nothing can be hidden, nothing. God's word will expose the hidden motives of man. If you're true and authentic, you would want God to expose everything in your heart so that he can heal, remove, replace what's meant to be there. Some people don't like correction. And the thing is that correction is not a bad thing. That's a good thing. That's not something to brag about. Oh, that person, oh, they got corrected. Well, if I got corrected, then I'm on the right path. If I was going the wrong way, and I understand we do not like to get directions from other people. We don't even like it when our wives may even say something about it. Please be quiet. Those aren't brakes over there, so why are you bumping on the stuff? You know how many times my wife saved me from an accident? But that's the thing. It's sharper. See, I lost my train of thought right there. I was about to go all in. We don't like direction. We don't like to ask for direction. We do not like it as men. Sometimes we don't. How many of you ask for directions? Do you stop and ask a stranger where this is and then that is, or do you try to figure it out on your own? How many men ask for directions, honestly? Men, not women. Tell her to. I said, sometimes I like to know directions. Why? Because I don't want to be on that street. Especially if I'm in the inner cities. There's a street in California called Balboa Street. You cannot drive down that street. Literally. I said, they will take you out. So that's where I tell all the Kansas City Chiefs fans. No, sorry. No. Oh, snap. God forgive me on that one. Buffalo better win today. Somebody might be preaching next week. Nothing in all, in verse 13, it says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. You can run, but you can't hide. So when you get into the presence of God, get vulnerable. Be transparent, and please forgive me for this. Be naked before the Lord. Talking about your heart. No idea, no thought left to yourself. You might tell Jesus, I haven't been thinking on the best things lately, but about myself or about other people, and you know the Comforter will come in and help you in your weakness and all your weaknesses. He will help you. In verse 14, it says, so then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. Just like other religions may have high priests to go to, we have the high priest that does not die. He lives forevermore. Jesus. The high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. Living here on earth does not exempt you from problems coming your way. But see, Jesus lived just like we did, but at the same time, he was tested, he was tried, and he remained sinless in the same way that we have in some manner, some form, he was. And he was sinless. He was not touched with sin until he went to the cross. We have a high priest that understands that. He truly understands our weaknesses. Jesus knew what it was like for Satan's arrows to come at him, just like a believer does. Verse 16 says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. So how do we come? Boldly. Begging? Boldly. Ashamed? Boldly. Condemned? Boldly. In fear of judgment? We come boldly. Boldly. The Greek word for that is parousia. Parousia means bluntly, all outspokenness. We come with assurance, with confidence in who God is and who we are in Christ. We come to God for all of our needs boldly. We pray boldly prayers. We command things to come out boldly. Not crazy. Boldly. Because you have to say that because, I mean, your eyes do not have to roll up in the back of your dome in order to pray for somebody. That's exorcism and stuff. We come boldly. It's that confidence that you have in God because you know he hears your prayers. There were times where Jesus prayed, Lord, I thank you that you hear me. Father, I thank you that you hear me. Jesus had that confidence. He understood that. He says to come boldly. Don't be ashamed of what you've done or what have you. God is not the one who's condemning you over that. You come boldly. Because sin will make you a coward. It'll get you to the place to where you feel ashamed about everything you've done. But he says to come boldly. You come to him justified because he looks at you just as if you've never sinned before. You are justified because of the blood of Jesus. You can bring those children in. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for everyone here, Lord. We thank you that we can boldly come to your throne. Because you are a gracious God, so that we may obtain mercy and grace in a time of help. We thank you, Lord, that when we pray, you hear our prayers. And Lord, if there are couples here that are at odds with each other, Lord, we ask that you just fully restore what is going on in their lives and in their homes. Satan, you take your hands off those couples. You take your hand off those marriages in the name of Jesus. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.